This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. See Live Off the Record with Zhivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, ESC Distributors Limited, Grand Bahama News, Kelly's Home Center, the National Insurance Board, the National Youth Guard, iBank and Trust, Raw Star Assurance, the Water and Sewage Corporation, and the World Athletics Road Relays.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Zhivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call at some point on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. 16 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, and that's the way my mother listens to the show. Hello, mommy. Saw her today. Heal her today for a little while. And you can also catch us on BTC Flow, channel 612. So let me give you the lay of the land today. For the first part of the first half of the show, I have a special guest, very special guest that we'll be speaking with. He has a story to tell, and one that I think you would want to hear and perhaps can benefit from. Afterward, I want to talk about a couple of things in the news, very much in the news. I know how you all go about what's in the news, and yeah, there's some things going on in the news we'd like to talk about. But I have with me Mr. Richard Hall, who lives here in the Bahamas. Mr. Hall has... How are you, Mr. Hall?
I am well. Thank you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing very well. So glad to have you with us today. You are Hall. You are Richard Hall. You don't have a relative named... late relative named Robert Hall, eh?
Well, perhaps I do. I don't know how far back it goes, but
okay.
I'm from Britain rather than Eleuthera, so we will see.
Okay. You never know. I believe Mr. Hall was out of Eleuthera too. He was. I only remembered because the first when I graduated university high school, actually it was the College of the Bahamas. The first person to offer me a job was Robert Hall.
Well, there you go. He gave you your start.
Yeah, well, I didn't take the job, but he did offer it. It was in the insurance sector. But you are one of those persons who has the good fortune of saying that you have survived stage 4 cancer, having been told by doctors that you had a very limited time to live. Is that not true?
Yes, I am. It was stage 4A head and neck cancer. It turned out to be a little easier than we had feared, but you're absolutely right. That's what I was diagnosed with.
Can you tell us the story leading up to your becoming aware of
that? Yeah,
yes.
I'd be happy to. I mean, like many of us, you know, you can be going about your everyday life and then suddenly you find a lump. And I found some lumps in my neck. And I sort of split my time between Florida and Abaco. And I was out in Abaco. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's obviously very concerning. And so you sort of, in a sense, want to push it away. But I was told that to begin with that it wasn't cancer and that I was fit and healthy and it was very unlikely it was. And that I then sort of started this process of trying to uncover what was going on. And it was only really when I was in Orlando, Florida, several months later, I did a test called a C-reactive protein test. And I'm not sure many of your listeners would be aware of that, but it was a test offered by Life Extension, which is a company I've got a lot of respect for, and it was about 20 times higher than normal. It's a marker of inflammation in the body. So I think that was the start of the journey. And then I immediately went to see a head and neck cancer specialist. And he sort of, you know, as you can imagine, berated me and said, "Mr. Hall, what on earth have you been doing? This looks like something pretty serious." So, you know, they did the biopsy. I was in Exuma when I got the phone call. And I was told on a Thursday about 7 years ago, almost to the month, you're booked in for surgery on Monday morning at 6:30. We're going to have to cut your neck open. So there you go. That's how it started.
Okay, and so can I, having myself had such a diagnosis, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer last year, June. I remember how I felt when it was confirmed for me. Tell us what was your reaction, your thoughts when you had it confirmed?
Well, that's a very good question. I'm interested to know what your reaction was, but my reaction was sort of disbelief, as in, well, yeah, this sort of can't be happening. And I'm sure many people feel that way. But then what happened from then on was, you know, a process of discovery and beginning to really study the science. I mean, shall I sort of just go on a roll and tell you what happened?
Please go right ahead.
Okay, well, that's very kind of you. Basically, it was head and neck cancer. I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with it. It was exactly the same cancer that Michael Douglas, the actor, had. And the surgery lasted 6 hours over in Orlando, in Winter Park. And they removed 79 lymph nodes from the right-hand side of my neck. They removed 15 centimeters by about 4 centimeters of tissue. It's called a radical neck dissection. I certainly wouldn't recommend it unless you have to get it done. It hurt it's hurt ever since. And then the bad news, of course, was they told me they didn't get it all. So that's when it becomes a bit more interesting, shall we say.
Mm-hmm. So
go ahead. What was your question?
I was just going to ask. When you got the confirmation of your diagnosis, it was already clear that you were at stage four. And could you tell us what stage four means for a cancer patient?
Well, it's not good news. Luckily, it was stage 4A. And one of the things I learned, which I think your listeners might find quite interesting, is that under the American Medical Association, and I may not be remembering all of these particularities correctly, but essentially a new manual comes out every 7 years. And so when you're talking to or being treated by an American physician, they have the manual. So what's interesting to me, and which pertains to what else we may talk about, is the trajectory of the science and how science develops. And if there's anybody listening who has a diagnosis like I've been through or you're dealing with, I think it's very encouraging to bear in mind that the science is always developing. Mm-hmm. So stage four generally means it's a metastatic condition. It's gone beyond its source. In head and neck cancer, my source was the right tonsil. But then my background in sort of research and strategy and so forth led me to start reading the scientific papers, because I really didn't want to accept a fate or a diagnosis that closed the definition and said it was all bad. So I mean, I encourage your listeners to do the same. And there's one place in particular, and this is what led me to my great admiration for Bill Falloon, who's the founder of Life Extension. I started studying papers that any of your listeners can find on a website called PubMed, P-U-B-M-E-D, PubMed Medical. And I could be slightly wrong, but it's basically all the peer-reviewed literature on any type of medical science is going to be there. So that's what sort of led me down the pathway of, okay, well, how can I beat this? Where's the latest science? And it led me to some pretty interesting, I'd say tentative conclusions, but I then implemented those conclusions. And so I actually managed to get in contact with several of the authors of the latest papers on head and neck cancer. And I mean, to all your listeners, it's on your phone. I mean, it's on your laptop. You can go there no matter what disease you have. And so then I came up with a theory that we could perhaps downregulate oncoproteins. Now, oncoproteins, based on my limited understanding, and in head and neck cancer, it's also cervical cancer as well for anyone who suffers from that, is driven by two oncoproteins, E6 and E7. So it sounds terribly complicated, but it was essentially fairly simple. I just wanted to find a way to use natural substances to see if I could downregulate the oncoproteins driving the cancer and strengthen the immune system. And I'm very, very grateful to Dr. Johnny Lahn, who sadly passed away, but a fabulous Bahamian doctor based in Nassau, one of the kindest men I've ever met. And he had relations with Life Extension, and Johnny encouraged me in this process. So feel free to ask any more questions, but there's certainly more to tell you of how it developed.
Yeah, okay. And you know, one of the things that I learned when I got my diagnosis was, and a very renowned, well, two of them, one here in the Bahamas and one in the U.S. said, okay, listen, you know, you don't have to decide something tomorrow or next month or the month after, you know, so you can do some, you can take your time, think through all the options, do your own research, et cetera, which I did. And, you know, and you learn so many things. You hear cancer and you think, oh, well, what does this mean for me? But you learn so many things that in fact gives you some command of your destiny to the extent that you are prepared to get the information that's most helpful and actually, as you say, do the things that's that it recommends, etc. And exactly. But I found for a time I found it a bit overwhelming. Would you say that happened to you at any point?
I don't think so, but
because you're in research and strategy, yeah, you said, right?
Well, I suppose I'm just a bit stubborn, so I just refuse to accept it was a death sentence. But I suppose what helped me the most and may help many of your listeners is that when you start reading the science, you'll see that the science isn't a static thing. What is true today is certainly not what's going to be true tomorrow or 4 years down the line or even 8 years down. I mean, if you look at the extension in human lifespans over the years, we've made dramatic changes. So what used to be a death sentence often no longer is. The bigger question, if I can sort of interject, was I had all these famous doctors, as you rightly allude to, in New York and MD Anderson, Florida, telling me, you know, you must do chemotherapy, Mr. Hall, otherwise, you know, sort of open brackets, the implication is, or some of them actually told me, you're going to die. And so because of my faith in the science, and I'd like to thank all the scientific researchers out there who are doing this work, I decided to place my trust in the science. So I declined the chemotherapy. And, you know, thankfully, my choice paid off. And 7 years later, I'm fine. But there were some other things that I had to do in order to get through it, if you know what I mean.
Right. And what you had to do. So, you found information, sought out some of the authors of the research papers.
Yeah,
and, right. But eventually, ended up to Dr. Falloon. Right? Is that the?
Well, Bill's the doctor. I only got introduced to him afterwards. I mean, sorry, in the people that I got in contact with were the actual researchers, and I mean, I don't think they were terrible. They weren't terribly thrilled to receive the phone call. I didn't fully disclose that I was in intensive care in Orlando when I made the calls, but we ended up becoming good friends, and they were very interested in that people were taking more of an interest, or at least I was. And so I thought, well, look, if I can use some of these natural substances, and I'm sure many of your listeners have heard of curcumin, I mean, really, you know, it was amazing to me in reading the science that the same things kept coming up, whether it was curcumin or quercetin or the fish oils like doxyhexaconoic acid. So I then came up with a protocol that which I thought would, in conjunction with talking to the scientists, would help calm down the drivers of the cancer. I mean, one of the things I like to say is cancer isn't a ghost that comes out of the cupboard and just jumps on you. It's a destination. And what we're learning from the science is you've got choice over which destination you want to go to. And not complete choice, but you've got some choice. Because things I did when I was young, which probably weren't ideal choices, like most of us, young and dumb, etc. So, you know, I created some risks for myself. But yes, to answer you, I found a way to try to calm those down. And then if you're interested, I can also tell you that there are different choices in radiation. There are different types of radiation. And I think there's also ways to make the radiation more effective, which, you know, should we say the people selling the services in the United States don't overly advertise the benefits of some of these things. And if you'd like me to talk about that, I'd be happy to. But it was that process. And then having cured the cancer myself with the help of the researchers, then Dr. Johnny Lund here, I'll never forget, in Nassau said, well, do you know Bill Falloon, the founder of Life Extension? And I said, well, I've heard of him. He's incredibly well regarded. And he said, well, hang on, I'll call him. And he called him and he passed the phone over. So that's how the whole next chapter got started.
Right. When you're diagnosed with cancer, you know, you basically, at some points, at least have three options. At least that would me with, say, prostate cancer, because they say, well, you know, you either do surgery or you do radiation or you watch and wait. See, we can see how aggressive it turns out to be. And so then you start looking at the various options for each of those things. Because even with the weight, it's not just different ways to wait, even with that. But then you, as you said, you go into the radiation, you find out, okay, there is not more one kind of radiation out there, whether that's proton, this, or, you know, just many, many different things. And that's what I said, why I said some of it became a little overwhelming for me, because one day I get excited about a protocol, say a therapy, radiation therapy, and then I would read or hear something that said, well, for your particular circumstance, maybe that's not the best. And so then I'm going on to the next thing and the next thing. And you know, just it became sometimes a little discouraging.
Well, I think you've touched on a very important, I mean, there's so much information on the internet. For someone who's diagnosed with cancer, if you start studying all of that, you can really, as you say, it becomes overwhelming. But I think that the point I would pass on and recommend to your listeners is stick with the science. You know, PubMed, the website that I mentioned, that isn't a magazine. That isn't, you know, CNN. That isn't anything like that. This is peer review published science. It lists the authors, it lists the facilities. It's written up in a very scientific way. It was difficult for me to understand it at first. But, and your doctors should be very happy to discuss that with you. I mean, when I ended up at MD Anderson in Houston, Texas, I mean, everybody knows it's a wonderful facility. I was able to share some of this science with Dr. Stephen Frank, who ran the Proton Radiation Center. And we became pretty close. I mean, he was quite interested in this stuff. And so I think, as you say, you can be resourceful, but it can be overwhelming. But I think if, one, you stick with the peer-reviewed science, and two, you then discuss it with knowledgeable doctors, then you're going to be in a safer realm of sticking with the very best science. And, you know, then in a sense, you're combining the cutting-edge scientific approach with perhaps an openness to embracing some alternatives. But, you know, I think my approach, when I look back on it, was I was trying to take the very best of the conventional, but maybe leave aside the more dangerous of the conventional. So I did the surgery, didn't get it all. I declined their kind offer of chemotherapy. And I did some of the radiation, but I only did it on half of my neck because, you know, you're supposed to do the whole neck, and I quit the radiation 2 weeks early. But again, I wouldn't recommend that except for the fact, if you recall at the start of our conversation, I talked about these manuals. The seventh edition manual said I was stage 4A, which, you know, means I was in a world of trouble. The eighth edition manual, which hadn't yet been published, indicated I was in a safer space, still dangerous. So I was able to try and get radiation to do. And I want to thank Dr. Daniel Marr at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, who very kindly spoke with me at some length. And he encouraged me that whilst I needed to be conservative, the development of the science was indicating in that particular cancer, and I think this is true for every cancer, treatment protocols are constantly changing. So with head and neck cancer, they were, in a sense, perhaps having overtreated in the past because it's such a dangerous one. And so that's, you know, just like you say, you try to make the best choices, and then you're in a position to move forward. And that's now what's led to my interest in trying to give back to the Bahamas, because now there is so much coming down the pike in the future of the science, which I think can help
everyone. Well, we have to take a break, but when we come back, let's talk about then what you did, and then how Pallone fits into the picture of what you did with him or next or what have you, and what your suggestions and recommendations are for people who have family members who are faced with this, or, you know, may become faced with this, because you couldn't tell me. I never thought I could never have cancer. I never thought that, but I certainly didn't think I'd ever have hear the words, yeah, the tests confirm that you have cancer. Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us today. I'm here with Sir Richard Hall, who has a story to tell about how he beat stage 4, stage 4 cancer. We'll be back after this break.
Why settle for an ordinary burger when you can indulge in the new Farmhouse King at Burger King Nassau? Sink your teeth into two juicy flame-grilled beef patties piled high with crisp bacon, American cheese, crispy onions, a fried egg, and a spicy mayo sauce that adds bold flavor to every bite. Enjoy the new Farmhouse King as a combo with fries and a drink, or if you're feeling extra hungry, try the King's Feast, available exclusively at Burger King Nassau.
Get ready! On May 4th and 5th, athletes from around the world will compete to secure their spot in the Paris Olympics. Come, witness history as our Bahamian athletes run against the world. Chase the sun from paradise to Paris at the BTC World Athletic Relays here in Nassau, Bahamas at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium. Get your tickets now at worldrelaysbahamas24.org or at the Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium box office or at BTC Mall at Marathon or BTC Southwest Plaza. BTC World Relays. Be there.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior?
Yeah, because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons?
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand.
We'll walk this road together.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, where we're speaking with Mr. Richard Hall, a stage 4 cancer survivor. And we're going to learn from him some of the things that he did to address the head and neck severe situation of head and neck cancer that he was confronted with. Again, Bill Hall, so glad that you could join us today.
Thank you.
So you did your research. It led you to calling some of the researchers, and then you decided you had the surgery done, but it didn't catch all of the cancer. You then had the radiation done, the radiation, so you only had it done in one half of your neck. What did you do after that that you would say contributed to the situation, the positive, wonderful situation you now have?
Well, that's very kind of you. I think once I began to realize how powerful some of the natural substances were and how I had read that in the scientific literature, the cancer was abated. I did travel to Mexico and do some alternative treatments. But essentially, that was when I was in Nassau. I got back to Nassau and I had a meeting I'll never forget with Dr. Johnny Lund. God rest his soul, one of the kindest doctors and men I've ever met. And he was the gentleman who introduced me to Bill Falloon at Life Extension. And Bill, for your listeners that don't know, is the co-founder of a very well-known company called Life Extension. It became one of the world leaders over the last 40, 45 years in providing cutting-edge supplements and blood tests and so forth. And as I said, it was that particular blood test that I got that probably saved my life. Otherwise, I would have carried on in the wait-and-see situation. And so in talking to Bill, I began to be aware there was a journey to go on even after defeating cancer, which I think could be of great interest to people in the Bahamas and potentially even the Bahamian economy. Because this whole world of people wanting to get younger or lengthen their lifespans is really no different from having, as you're now dealing with, you have prostate cancer, you want to beat it, you want to carry on living. And so I became quite close friends with Bill, and he began to introduce me to more and more of what I would call the next paradigm of science, or people call it age reversal, but I think a more understated way of looking at it is just extending healthy and longer lives. And if you look, I'd be happy to talk about that, because Bill's giving a presentation tonight about it, and he's not selling anything. He's not selling any particular method. He's sort of the Alan Greenspan of this world in the bank. So I'm happy to talk about that and what I've learned as well, because it's a lot of it really does work.
Because ultimately, you know, it's one thing to survive a disease, right, that may take your life, but it is quite another thing to live well, even after the fact, because there are people who survive, but then they go on to live miserable lives, not because of the disease, but they live miserable lives because we continue to live our lifestyles that contribute to our poor health, or we don't know of these natural ways of enhancing our own health. You know, and I have the cancer didn't cause this, but it certainly accelerated it. I was on a journey toward better health. So, you know, I explored intermittent fasting, and I've been doing intermittent fasting now almost 2+ years. You know, I do cold showers practically every day.
Very sometimes,
yes, and I, you know, so I know about and taking, for instance, boosters, and you know, just many things that I'm learning about how we eat, when we eat, the way we exercise and shouldn't exercise. That it is about not beating a disease, but about living with a high level of energy, focus, and vitality, and giving my body the best prospect for healing itself from any future ailment.
Well, that's right. I agree 100%.
And so that's the Life Extension research and work that Fallon is about?
Well, he's now taken it so much further. I mean, really, he is, we're very lucky that he's here today, the last couple of days. In my humble opinion, I think he's probably the world's leader, if not one of the top five in the world, at understanding where the science is at and being able to communicate which science is working, which science has got further to go. So to give you a sort of a snapshot, there are now studies. The scientific community, again, through peer-reviewed scientific journals, are essentially embracing, or close to embracing, but seem to have proven that we can significantly extend lifespan of animals. So many of your listeners, or perhaps just some of your listeners, but may have heard of Dr. Sinclair at Harvard Medical School. Now, his work with something called Yamanaka factors has indicated that the remaining lifespan of mice under that program that he and knows far more details than I ever would about, has extended that very, very significantly. And these are some of the things that Bill is going to be talking about this evening. He's giving a presentation this evening at 7 p.m. out at the Old Fort Bay Club. I think it's in.
And this is the Heal Inc. conference, right?
Well, he was at the Heal Inc. conference. I mean, Dr. Desiree Cox does a fabulous job putting that on. But this is a private presentation.
Okay. I understand.
At the Old Fort Bay Club. And I think Diane Phillips had the invitation. So I think hundreds of invitations have gone out. But I encourage people to contact Diane Phillips and Associates if they wish to go. Mm. And what's going to be amazing about this evening is, I think, two things. Number one, this is no longer at the point of sort of speculation. I mean, on the 7th of April this year, CNN published an article talking about measures of biological age. And I think this touches on something that you were very rightly commenting on with your intermittent fasting, improving your health generally, being vibrant, cold showers, whatever. The biological age is different from your chronological age. So I'm apparently, according to my parents, my father's passed away, but according to my elderly mother, I'm 55 years of age. So that's a little bit disappointing. But when I had the cancer, we took the blood tests that I had then, and recently they were interpreted by this biological age method that Bill and his team are pioneering. They're putting forward many of these methods, and that CNN has now written up about, which gives it great. I was, 47 when I had the cancer? But my biological age was 57. And the CNN headline 2 weeks ago was, this biological age is a key indicator of your cancer risks. Now, by following much of what Bill's talking about tonight, firstly, my biological age came down gradually by taking the appropriate supplements and doing other things. There's a whole variety of things I've done, including I drink a lot of vegetable juice. My biological age came down to 47. And then recently, again, despite being involved in some very stressful activities in the United States, it came down to 44.96. So Bill is going to be speaking about this evening, and there are four or five things I can share with you that at least I know a little bit about, which the science shows really do work to help extend human health span. And this is the cutting edge of a whole new frontier. And while I did go to Mexico for, you know, follow-up alternative treatments, I'm sure in terms of people come to Nassau, Bahamas and stay at Bahamar or Atlantis or the Ocean Club, rather than go to somewhere a little bit, perhaps with more risk associated with. So I think there's some tremendous opportunities in all of this.
Well, we have one more. We have another break before, you know, you got to leave us. And one more break. And then when we come back, can we hear those four or five things that you know about?
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be a good introduction to what Bill's talking about tonight.
Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Mr. Richard Hall. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand. Everybody. medical condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit Cleveland Clinic or Caribbean.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Elaine, you hear what Boss Man was saying in the back there just now?
About what? The luncheon?
Why are you always worried about food? No. About how we gotta pay a little more for national insurance.
Mildred, you talking fool.
I can't afford to pay that. And you're always crying for him out. Ain't gonna be much. Boss still gotta pay. 1st of July, 2024.
I think that premium benefit is what did help my boy Tony through the pandemic. Oh. That same unemployment benefit. Susan, I think she'd get a pregnancy benefit, eh?
You mean maternity benefit, eh? So now, we gotta do our part to make sure we get our pension. All right.
For more information, visit NIPRateIncrease.com.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, where we're speaking with Mr. Richard Hall, telling us about how he was able to successfully overcome a stage 4 head and neck cancer. And now he's going to tell us about the 4 or 5 things he knows that we can do to help us on our own journey, health journey. You don't have to have cancer, you could, but the health journey. And Mr. Bill Falone is going to be holding a talk by Old Fort Bay Club tonight. I'm talking about many of these things and more, given his standing in the scientific community on this life extension issue. But Hall, 4 or 5, I'm eager to hear.
Well, yes, I think we all are, but Bill knows more than me, but I'm happy to share what I do know. I think it's good to give sort of a context, an overview. There are obviously people who've been in the anti-aging community for many years. Science progresses, and with the developments in artificial intelligence and all sorts of things, it does appear the science is developing exponentially. And Bill will talk about this tonight, and I'm sure he'll come back to the Bahamas to give another address as well. There may have only been 1 or 2 potential age reversal technologies that might have worked, say, 10 or 15 years ago. But now we're in a position where, as he's going to talk about tonight at the Old Fort Bay Club, there's well over a dozen that there's really good evidence that indicates they do work. And there's certainly, some of them are definitely working with animals already. And Bill, I mean, God bless him, he's personally investing in a lot of the science to transition it so that it can work for humans. He's not interested in making money out of this. He just wants to have these technologies be available. So I think the first one, and feel free to jump in and ask any questions at all, the first one really would come under what I would call senolytics. Now, again, I know enough to be dangerous, right? The Bill Falloon is the guy who knows the most. But as I understand it, it was pretty much a chance discovery by the Mayo Clinic and Scripps. That by combining a very small dosage of a chemotherapy drug called dasatinib with a flavonoid called quercetin, which you may recall is one of the substances I use to downregulate the oncoproteins in my cancer. So I pricked up my ears, you know, when I heard this. And Bill published a few years ago and really tried to explain that this had had life extension properties to the extent that the mice or the animals on the studies of Mayo Clinic and Scripps lived, I think, 36% longer. So I might be out by 1 or 2 percentage points, but that's very significant. And my understanding of the science, to put it in basic terms, is that many of our cells turn over every 6 months. So I used to play professional golf, and I was poisoned by pesticides. And that's what led me to set up a company which can greatly reduce those pesticides and reduce exposures. But when I had to clean my body out, I was taught by the doctors that cell turnovers, every 6 months, many, many of your cells are going to be new. But if that's absolutely perfect, then surely your whole body would be brand new every 6 months. The science of senolytics is they don't turn over perfectly, and these junk cells get left behind, which have very poor signaling and can contribute to carcinogenic situations and cancer and so forth. And the senolytics has the ability to help clean them out. So I've been taking these religiously. I'm not a big fan of the chemotherapy, as I'm sure many of your listeners aren't. So I didn't do the dasatinib, but I did another substance called fisetin, which is a naturally occurring substance, and also black tea extract. And that combination has now been shown to have very positive effects. And the sort of the proof of the pudding, and I want to thank another doctor here in the Bahamas, Dr. Bain, he helped me with intravenous nutrition. And all of this was in conjunction with Bill Falloon. And I had to go to New York, and I was put on an angiogram by Mount Sinai. And, you know, once you get into your mid-50s and into your 60s, it's pretty normal that most of us get, you know, blockages in arteries, you get calcification. And the Mount Sinai cardiologist called me back in, which I obviously didn't think was a good sign. And he said, look, Mr. Hall, you know, we need to know what you're doing. We haven't seen results like this before. We've checked the medical records. You have zero blockage in your arteries around your heart and zero calcification. And, you know, a lot of this, we think, came down to the senolytics. So please feel free to ask any questions. But that's the first of the four I was going to briefly explain. And it really does seem to work and have lots of different benefits.
Okay. All right. No, I'm with you. The next one.
Well, the next one we've got to thank the Israelis for, and many other people besides, but they did a study with hyperbaric oxygen. We've all heard of hyperbaric oxygen. People come here and dive, and, you know, you can use it if you get the bends and so forth.
Or Michael Jackson made it very famous when they talked about him having a hyperbaric chamber to sleep in.
Well, that's right. And there's a very well-known age reversal person called Brian Johnson, who's really pushing the envelope on all of this. And I think recently he gave a talk at Albany, which is a wonderful facility. I think he uses that. I could be wrong. But going back to the Israeli study, many of your listeners will probably be very interested in this. They took people who are only aged 64 and over. So no spring chickens. You know, normally we're getting into the twilight of our lives, so to speak. And I think they did 60 sessions of hyperbaric oxygen over 90 days. Again, I could be out with the details, but Bill can confirm tonight and when he comes back. And at the end of your chromosomes, I think you have a thing called a telomere. And it's like an aging clock. As you get older, it gets shorter and shorter. And this was the first time in peer-reviewed published science that human telomeres scientifically were proven to actually reverse that aging process and get longer. So it's the second set of evidence, which I think is very interesting and easily accessible for people.
Okay. And then,
Well, there's everyone's heard of stem cells, but beyond stem cells, there's something called exosomes, which, you know, I think I don't know enough to talk very knowledgeably about that, but it's definitely something I would like to pursue. I read. And the fourth one may be of particular interest to the Bahamas, and the founder or the co-founder of the company is here. His name is Mac Davis. He's a friend of Bill Falloon's. He's going to be at the presentation tonight to answer any questions. And it's a form of gene therapy. And it's not gene editing. It's just, in layman's terms, perhaps cleaning up the genes to get them to function more effectively through bioidentical processes. And what's really interesting in this is that it's the first science, perhaps, that it's able to reverse early stage Alzheimer's or certainly slow down the process. So these are just, you know, the examples of how the science has progressed and how we can embrace this with a view to being of great benefit to the Bahamas. And it's my goal. Go ahead.
Yes. No, sorry. It's your goal too.
Well, it's my goal to try to help in any way I can to help the Bahamas. The Bahamas have been very, very good to me. And I think this could provide a plethora of different treatment options. And I think the government is to be applauded. And Dr. Binnis has also attended one of Bill's presentations. So on both sides of the government, I think there's a real appetite to embrace these potentials and do it safely, do it securely, to move the science forward and perhaps make the Bahamas a leading place in the world for people to come and get access to some of these treatments. And for people who are interested, you know, please do come to the talk tonight. I think many people have been invited. And again, Diane Phillips and Associates is the right people to contact in that regard. But this could be very, very beneficial for people who are sick and also for the economy.
You know, what I liken what's happening in the science today on the health front, where the focus isn't on disease and treatment, but on also on prevention, and what have you, because I liken it to, you know, there was a time when we looked at the big objects in space, and that was our science. Now we go in the opposite direction, looking at quantum physics and all the little tiniest things and all the amazing things they do. And it seems to me like there are scientists who are going right down to the cellular level and saying, listen, man, you know, this is where the issues are, whether it's with your mitochondria dysfunction or the extent to which you are getting the kind of nutrition that the cells need to function properly, et cetera. We are learning things that tell us that we are not subject to the destiny that we have been thinking we are subject to, because there are ways to cooperate with your own body to make it capable of also making sure it has a vibrant, vital life going forward. Is that true?
Yes, I would agree entirely. I mean, as a wise lady said to me earlier today, this is all about making your cells healthier. And the healthier we can make our cells, then what greater control we have over our destiny. So I applaud you for everything you're saying.
So once again, Diane Phillips and Associates, if somebody wants to contact with a view to going to attend the presentation by Falloon, that's right, eh?
Yes, that would be correct. I think there are limits on numbers, but that would be absolutely right. Please contact Diane Phillips and Associates. And this will be beneficial.
Well, you know, might I also say that if ever you and he want to get to an audience of people that would love to hear more, please feel free to come to Z Live. We'd love to have you for the full time to talk about all these interesting developments.
Oh, we would love to. That would be wonderful. Anything we can do or I can do to help the Bahamas, I've heard the saying, it's better in the heart, believe it.
Well, thank you very much, and congratulations on your own journey, and thank you for sharing what you shared with us today. We hope every success for the event tonight.
Okay, thank you. My pleasure, and thank you for hosting me.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lange, your host. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, did they discharge the jury today? We'll talk about it. We'll be back after this news break.
Take a step, everybody.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. So happy you could join us. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. What an exciting life you could live if you dared to just follow your passions, your abilities, and the like. You know, if you're prepared to take a little risk, or maybe even a lot of risk, and you can live an exciting life. You know, someone once told me, you know, until you did this radio show, I didn't know you were a music person like that. I mean, I find that amazing. Of course, they would think that because we typeset people, you know. I'm Shivago Lang, the politician, Shivago Lang, the minister responsible for youth, sports, and culture one time, and then finance one time, and politics, 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 that's who you are. And I'm Shivago Lang, the arrogant, and Shivago Lang, the biggity, and Shivago Lang, the this, and the that, the next thing. And what you know about me? Other than what you heard, observed briefly, right? You don't know what movies I like. You don't know what songs I like. You don't know what kinds of ways I enjoy myself. You don't know the kinds of foods I cook, and I cook many kinds of foods. You don't know that I ran a restaurant, ran several restaurants, as a matter of fact, and ran a chicken farm and all that kind of stuff. Well, you know, you don't really know, right? Doesn't matter. My point is, like, folks, you know, we are going to die one day. I am not afraid to say that. I am going to die one day. I don't even know what day it is. I'm trying to do my best as I can to remain healthy and stay and live vitally longer. But I don't know. But I tell you one thing. Pastor Monroe said to all of us, die empty. Die empty, right? So that's among the things I'm trying to do. So, you know, leave a legacy, not a legacy, leave a heritage, leave an inheritance for my children and my children's children. And, you know, just be vital, man. You don't, listen, you don't have to be me, and you don't have to be Mr. Hall, or you don't have to be someone else. You don't have to have a lot of means or modest means. It doesn't matter where you are, whatever you have. If you do as much as you can every day that you can with what you have, no one reasonably and justifiably criticize you, and you will live a vital life if you do everything you can with little you have. And there are poor people who are just, they are doing a ton more than the richest people on planet Earth, because they are doing all they could with all they have every time they can. That's what you got to do. I don't even know why I said that. I'm just telling you. I just felt moved and compelled to say it. And that's all I'm saying. Go live your life, man. Go live your abundant life. You hear me? And that living life abundantly doesn't mean you're going to every day feel great, every day feel super, every day succeed at everything you do? Not at all. I tell you one thing it means. Your attitude toward life will be fantastic, right? No matter what it is, even the challenges, you won't be happy about them, but you will deal with them with some gusto and courage that you wouldn't believe. You say, listen, it's me reacting and responding to life way. Really? Oh, man, I can't tell you. I'd be sitting down, laying down, walking in the middle of the day, the morning, in the middle of the night, and these thoughts just come to me. Come to me. I mean, and I'm just sorry. That's not, that, you know what? I'm going to try that. Ah, God is good. All right. So today, the jury that had been impaneled in the case of Member of Parliament for North Abaco, Cornish, is a rape case. That jury has been discharged. So before I heard this news, a lady walked up to me in the food store and she said, "Child, that's something, hey, how they let that one off. They let him off." Let him off? Should really? What do you mean? I didn't hear anything. She said, "Yeah, man, the man from Abaco, the Member of Parliament, Cornish." She said, Yeah. Say, "Yeah, they let him off, child. My God, that's something, eh?" It's like, wow. Let him off. What's that about? And so then I got the real news, right? Which was that the jury was discharged. No one has been let off. He was not acquitted, meaning found innocent and therefore set free. No one was let off, right? The jury was discharged, meaning that having found someone in the jury who was, and all we are told, that's all I know, it was closely related to Michael Pinta, the leader of the opposition, that was sufficient grounds by the judge to discharge the jury. Saying, in other words, telling them, "You can go, this group could go, we have to start over and get another jury." That's really what that means. Doesn't mean the case is over, it just means that we have to get another jury impaneled to hear this case. Now, why would it be important to note that somebody is closely connected with Mr. Pintad, or it could have been any opposition member of parliament, or it could have been closely connected to Prime Minister Davis? Because the notion is that such a person might have a motivation born of some political instinct or relationship to cast a look at the case in a certain way. And so as to ensure the integrity of the process and for justice to appear to have been done, then the judge decided, okay, well, we need to discharge the jury, meaning we'll start again and go over. But now, just now the lady said to me, "You see how they let him go?" I imagine there are people who could say, "Oh, well, you know, Mr. Pentad, them, must he plant him there or blah, 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 blah." What utter nonsense if that is something somebody thinks. Because here's the truth. Who is it that is supposed to examine potential jurors to determine whether any such juror might be prejudiced one way or the other? Whose responsibility is that? Upon whom does that fall? Well, as a learned attorney told me, that's the responsibility of the prosecution and the defense. That's their job. Before you impanel a jury, their job is to find out who you are, what you do, what you know, how connected are you to this one or that or to any is there anything that might cause you to be unable, incapable of rendering a fair judgment on Ms. Mata? That's the responsibility of the defense and the prosecution. You know what I said, right? Both. If you're defending your client, you want to make sure I know prejudicial people on the jury, right? And if you're the prosecution, you want to make sure the same thing is true otherwise. You'll make sure there's nobody on the jury who's likely to vote or to judge the case against you, the prosecution. Mr. Pintard has nothing to do with. Nothing to do with. Don't be in the court. Don't be there asking a jury any question. Nor does Prime Minister Davis or anybody else. Right? The judge, the defense and prosecution, and potential jurors. That's upon whom that falls. So let's be sensible, people. Right? And make sure we understand how these things go. Well, someone sent me a videotape by a lady who was hot. Yeah, I mean, she was livid with all. Livid with the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Fred Mitchell, because she was offended by Mr. Mitchell, who is the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party's appeal, PLP supporters, and to people at large of Goodwill to pray for Mr. Cornish. Now, let me say this. I don't know if I could ever say to somebody that you wronged, ask people to pray for anybody. Okay, I'm praying a good thing for everybody. Bible say we are supposed to pray for those who despitefully use us. Okay, so we are to pray, right? But if you are interested in justice, fairness, what you would say is, let's pray for our judges. Let's pray for the jury. Let's pray for the prosecution. Let's pray for the defense. Let's pray for Mr. Cornish. Let's pray for the complainant in the circumstance. Let's pray for everybody. Not just pray for one side like that, because on the sheer, let's say spiritual grounds, right? We are told to pray for everybody, right? Secondly, on the optics of it, in this day and age, in the age let's say people being more sensitive to the plight that people who are assaulted by men in power, women in particular, you don't come across well asking someone to pray for someone alleged to have done something and not, you know, the other side. I'm just saying, just as that woman, that lady said on her video, on her voice note that I listened to, that's the way it could come across to people. I mean, I don't know that at the end of the day, these things make much difference to some people, but, you know, she was hot. That lady, man, she was livid. She was livid. But, you know, this is why we have a judicial system. Prayer, at the end of the day, let me tell you something, man. God, I'm sorry, the way I have come to know him, and I don't claim to know him, but God don't joke and play around, man. God ain't no PLP, and God ain't no FNM. Huh? So you pray, God is a God of love, a God of justice, a God of mercy, a God of compassion, a God of patience. He would that all men should be saved and none should perish. But God ain't taking no sides with your people and my people because you want them to. And when you pray to God for somebody, let's say it wasn't Mr. Cornish. Let's say it's not Mr. Cornish, but somebody else is alleged to have committed a rape. Somebody else, some young man in the Bahamas. Nobody knows his name. He's not a member of parliament. He's not a senator. How do you pray for such a person? What do you say if you pray for such a person? Do you pray, Lord, this young man is accused of rape? You know right well what he has done. How do you give him what he deserves? But you say, God, show him mercy. And then when you're done, and your mind just happens to bend in the direction of the person who accused him of rape, you say nothing, or do you pray too? When you say what to God? God, this lady has accused this man of rape. You know the truth. What do you pray then? What do you say, God, let the truth come out? What do you pray? What do you pray? Let the truth come out? Let me tell you something, boys. I listened to a sermon once by Charles Spurgeon. Remember in that sermon what he said? He said, when you set out to pray, think about what you pray. He said, would you go before a king? And I, in sense, a president, a prime minister, and just open your mouth and start talking? Or would you think about what you said so that it might have effect and be aligned with the truth, the good, and the decent? Right? So, I mean, listen, people say all kinds of things. And sometimes they don't really mean nothing by what they say. It's just words spoken for some end that they have. Boy, but them words called prayer and thing, I don't joke with. I can tell you the truth. I approach prayer with a great deal of anxiety at times. I do. You know, and I worked with Prime Minister Ingram. Before I met him, before I worked with him, it was always a profound thing. Even before he became prime minister, it was really profound that I would ever meet him or ever be in his company. And then when I became his colleague in running for an election, and then when I won, and then I worked with him in cabinet, I was in awe many times. I really was. I highly regarded him, and I highly regarded the office he held. Would not take it lightly. And so I was careful what I said. I was careful what I did, and I was careful to listen to what he said. I was careful to follow his instructions. If I did not agree with him, I was careful to express my disagreement, and I did at times express such disagreement. But always mindful of who it was that I was dealing with, both in his person and in his office. Well, that was Prime Minister Ingram. What do you think about God? No, I ain't falling on my knees and just uttering any kind of words. And when you see me unsure of how to pray, guess what I just do? I just lean on Jesus' words, and I just say, I'm going to pray how Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom be done on earth, so always it is done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and forever. Amen. I pray that prayer often when I am uncertain, because I don't want to be calling God's name for no good reason. And I am praying to God for no nonsense. I'm not going to do it. Right? So, I mean, I wouldn't get upset with Mr. Mitchell or anybody else. I wouldn't get upset with them. I can understand why. I understand the lady's sentiments, but I tell you why I don't get upset. Because when politicians are moved in a moment, all kind of things come out of the mouth. And then what happens is people like that lady who picks up that stuff and shares her thoughts on it passionately and articulately, there you go. And she did slam. She did slam him. I ain't gonna lie. She slam him. Right? You want to pray for the alleged perpetrator, but have no regard for the victim, alleged victim? We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Shivago.
Hey, what's happening?
I call for the cancer thing, but I wonder, I mean, our jurisprudence don't have alternative jurors like the states. I'm like shocked that the judge didn't just fire that one and call the next one, but people just only pick 12. I know during the Trump trial, they have six.
I don't know, but that's a good point. Because I do know that they do have alternate jurors in the U.S. process. And they might not, I don't know.
It's a waste of time. They should at least have three standbys. Then you're left here with cancer. I want to congratulate you for being bold with your diagnosis. The defense secretary, Lloyd Austin, he said when he was diagnosed, he couldn't even tell his boss. He didn't tell nobody. Because he couldn't believe it. He was like the doctor tell him, he said, what to do? But anyhow, he got over it, but he's like, his apology was so sincere. I've never seen a man so sincere in his apology that, you know, like he was like a blow in his stomach. And
I often think about my own situation? Because I had no symptoms.
Because I mean, you deal with it. But a lot of people don't deal with situation bad. But let me go back to cancer, right? Duke University researchers, neuroblastoma is the most deadly cancer you ever had. But they are using polio virus that has been weakened to fight brain cancer. If you Google polio virus and brain cancer, because your immune system cannot detect cancer cells. But if they're weak,
I'm familiar with what you're talking about because there was one of the news shows had, they are exploring that for sure. One of the first ones to get it. In fact, she died. She died.
Okay.
Yeah, she died. So it's something. They're trying to get the dosage right.
But most of the times that's like a death sentence. But they inject that poliovirus into your tumor, and your immune system literally fights the tumor because it thinks it's fighting the polio, but fighting the cancer. That neuroblastoma, that's like 6 months. But people live 2-3 years now. Anyhow, Google poliovirus and brain cancer. All right,
thank you, sir. Appreciate you calling. This text says, did they ask everyone on the jury to reveal their political affiliation? I don't know. I don't even know if you're allowed to do that. Maybe you're allowed to ask that in the context of a sitting member of parliament being accused. I don't know if we know how extraordinary the times in which we live are. Right? We had, under the Minnis administration, several former ministers and members of parliament accused of things and sent before the court. Of course, they were, at least two were acquitted. I don't know actually what is the situation in the last case. We then have in the under the Davis administration, we have a former cabinet minister and member of parliament charged. We have a sitting member of parliament before the courts on the opposition side, and a sitting member of parliament on the governing side before the courts. Listen to me. You could go a lifetime in many countries, many democracies, and never see any such thing. We live in extraordinary times. So I don't know what they asked, but, you know, people who are political, when they get before the courts, it's a ticklish matter. It is, because we are very aware in this country, very aware. We love our politics. And it can therefore be difficult to determine whether a person can or cannot be fair in adjudicating the matter. What a time. Do we have a caller on the line?
Yeah, hey, Mr. Lai, I missed this point. In a political trial like this, right, when I bought my car insurance, the question was, are you politically connected to who? And the car insurance, to imagine a question came up in a politically charged question like this. Are you politically connected and who? But I put the jury drew a misconduct. Because when you buy insurance, they want to know who you politically connected to. When you buy insurance, they don't ask you. It was on my form.
Yeah, but you in this little small country, what does that mean? Like I don't know
that
what
be
the connection.
A dual questionnaire. Try it like this.
I got you, brother. Thanks a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Attention all New Providence customers. Are you ready to spring into savings and make this Mother's Day unforgettable? From April 26th to May 9th, pay your water bill and get a chance to win big. That's right. Simply pay your bill and you'll be automatically entered to win a stunning 55-inch smart TV. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to treat yourself or that special mom in your life. Visit any of our water and sewage offices to learn more. Spring into savings and make this Mother's Day one to remember. Water and sewage committed to growth, committed to quality. Hurry, offer ends soon. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the National Youth Guard program designed to train young people to help the Bahama Islands in times of disaster.
I decided to join to better serve my country as well as to better myself.
We train to help in search and rescue,
electrical, plumbing, and carpentry.
And things that they can actually expand on in their careers.
Young people who join the Youth Guard program discover a sense of purpose and a sense of patriotism.
To learn more and apply, visit nyg.bahamas.gov.bs.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust and hope again that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call on the show, the numbers to do so are as follow. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. Speaking of Fred Mitchell, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, he said something very interesting the other day in responding to Dr. Hubert Minnis about the then proposal of the government to send some Bahamian police to assist the situation in Haiti. According to an article written by Rachel Scott in the Guardian, Minister accuses Minnis of fear mongering on Haiti. Says the Minister of Foreign Affairs Fred Mitchell said yesterday this is what I wanted for you to hear. He says, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Fred Mitchell, said it is not possible to have a rational discussion in the Bahamas, and noted the government is as transparent as it thinks necessary on this issue. First of all, it isn't possible to have a rational discussion on immigration in the Bahamas, says the minister. And he said the government is as transparent as it thinks necessary on this issue. He says we are as transparent as we think it is necessary to be in this country without inflaming the passions of xenophobia, said Mitchell during debate in the House of Assembly on an amendment to the Immigration Act that would allow for digital documentation for foreigners entering the Bahamas. He added, we keep running on about this. What I am saying is that what happens is that when we have these discussions, you keep asking about why the government doesn't engage in this. It's because you cannot have a rational discussion on immigration in this country. Acting on a conversation years ago on the Caribbean single market and economy, which the Bahamas is still not a part of, Mitchell said, we had to stop the debate because people were threatening mayhem against Caribbean people living in this country. Said it was just extraordinary, so it becomes such a danger that we said, look, we have to stop this because this is getting to be nasty. So the government has to be careful that it does not inflame these passions. So there are things we have to do. Sometimes it's not in the public interest. Says his comments were in response to former Prime Minister Dr. Hubert Minnis, who raised alarm over chaos in Haiti as he questioned the government's changing narrative on plans for Royal Bahamas Defense Force officer, to assist the security in the neighboring country. Said the Prime Minister must not send the human troops into the violent chaos in Haiti with no clear plan, Minnis said. So Mitchell labeled Minnis's comments offensive and accused him of scaremongering over xenophobic views. Can I tell you all how extraordinary this exchange is? Extraordinary. I mean, it's extraordinary. Right? First of all, former Prime Minister Minnis and the member of parliament for Kalani, I don't think it's being offensive to ask, to suggest that the Prime Minister must not send the human troops into violent chaos in Haiti without a clear plan. It's true. Who would do that? Who would send Bahamians anywhere without a clear plan? Anywhere. Like, why would a government send anyone anywhere without a clear plan? And so, if I'm the government, I say, listen, yes, we have a clear plan. The plan is to use the skill set of the Royal Department's Defense Force to assist Haiti in its situation. And we are assured by the commandant of the Defense Force that his men and or women have the capability of, one, defending themselves, two, aiding the situation in which they are in, and on the basis of their own skill set and what have you, would be capable of remaining reasonably safe in circumstance. Why would the suggestion that you don't send people anywhere without a clear plan be offensive and stoking xenophobic fears? I don't even think our situation with Haiti represents xenophobic fears. I agree with Mr. Mitchell that there are lots of people who approach the matter with some degree of irrationality, but it's not xenophobic. It's not that Bahamians who have a real issue with Haiti and Haitians and illegal Haitians don't have it because they are afraid of foreigners, right? Because that's what xenophobic means. Xenophobia means that there is this fear. Because what is a phobia? It's a fear, right? Hatred and prejudice against strangers. And that's not what the situation is with Haitians. What it is Bahamians, lots of Bahamians, feel overwhelmed by the amount of illegal immigrants in the Bahamas or coming to the Bahamas. And why would they not be? Even the Prime Minister of the country, Prime Minister Philip Ray Davis, went to the UN and said, we cannot entertain any more illegal Haitians. We have done more than Asha. He said that. And they came back and said, we wouldn't sign the statement because we refuse to take more Haitians in. That's what drives Bahamians. They think that there's too many, it's been too much, and it's calling on them. So they're not xenophobic. They don't. If you did not have a massive Haitian illegal immigrant in Bahamas, I don't think that Bahamians would say, "Oh, I don't like them Haitians." I don't think that's the case at all. I think it's the circumstance of the numbers and how those numbers have swollen and swelled over the years, right? Are there Bahamians who hate foreigners? Maybe. I don't know any, but I don't know. There may be. Who are prejudiced against strangers? Perhaps. I don't know any. I know some Bahamians who are prejudiced against Haitians now. I know many of us, when we were growing up, the way we were taught, whether intentionally or unintentionally, to view Haitians made us prejudiced against them. And it wasn't until we grew older and wiser that we were able to see how stupid we were for having those views that we had, right? Because they weren't based on any rational basis. They weren't based on anything serious, significant. They were just, we were told they were this and they were that and they were the next thing and so forth and so forth. And that's how we came to all, that's what we say, you quick, but get your Haitian self from around it. That's what we said. I lie. Huh? Those of you who grew up, I'm 56 years old and grew up in the times in which I was growing up, tell me if I lie, if someone calling you a Haitian wasn't an insult. As a matter of fact, today, these days on my show a year or so ago, we were having discussions about the Haitian challenge. People tell me, Mr. Langbo, you're a Haitian. That was supposed to insult me. That was supposed to hurt my feelings. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid
to take a stand. Are you ready for the best of the best? Keep the Vibe Alive Music Group up for sound promotion, and Guardian Radio presents the best of the best Reconscript Explosion Concert. Mark your calendars for May 11th as Super Club Breeze's Grounds Ignite with Bahamian Talent, featuring KB, Gino D, Funky D, Veronica Bishop, The Brylanders, Avi, Elon Moxie, and Shine 242. Join the Falcons, Iron Store, Jovi Pierre, Judy, Nishi LS, Pat Rami, Stevie S, and Shad Colley and the VIPs for an electrifying night of music and culture. Tickets are flying, so grab yours now. Available online at BahamasEtickets.com or swing by the Beauty Shack on Soldier Road and Carmichael Road. This is the event of the year. The best of the best rake and scrape explosion at Breezes Resorts. Gates open at 6 p.m. Don't miss out on the Bahamian Magic.
Get ready! On May 4th and 5th, athletes from around the world will compete to secure their spot in the Paris Olympics. Come, witness history as our Bahamian athletes run against the world and chase the sun from paradise to Paris at the BTC World Athletic Relays here in Nassau, Bahamas at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium. Get your tickets now at worldrelaysbahamas24.org or at the Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium box office or at BTC Mall at Marathon or BTC Southwest Plaza. BTC World Relays. Be there.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio and FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Mothers are the heart of our homes, the soul of our memories, and the guiding light through life's journeys. Show your love with a gift from Kelly's House and Homes Mother's Day Sale, Friday, May 3rd through Saturday, May 11th. Enjoy 20% off selected dinnerware, glassware, luggage, silk flowers, and picture frames, except on net items. One lucky person can win a gift basket for Mother's Day. Visit our Facebook page for more information. Kelly's House and Homes Mother's Day Sale, May 3rd through 11th. Happy Mother's Day, all with love from Kelly's House and Home.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. So glad that you could join us. If in these last moments you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You know, Mr. Mitchell said that sometimes we have to do things that's not in the public interest. Is that true? That a government does things that's not in the public interest? What? I could see the government doing things the public isn't interested in. I could see the government doing things that the public might not agree with. But every time the government does something, even if the public doesn't agree with it, even if the public isn't interested in it, one seeks to do it in the public interest. Is that not true? I'm trying to think of an example of something a government would do that's not in the public interest. And share it with the public and say, you know, I'm doing this isn't in your interest. I'm doing it. It's just really odd, actually. So I don't know if he intended to say what it came across as, but it certainly sounds odd to me. It says not in the public interest, I think, what says this text. I found it curious. And listen to me, I believe that Minister Mitchell is a highly intelligent person, highly. And even highly intelligent people can say things inartfully. I have done so in my lifetime, right? So maybe what I read isn't what he, what I read isn't what he intended. I'm aware a government is always pursuing the public interest. So this text says, Mitchell seems to be speaking off the cuff way too often. But he does hit a note with which I share some resemblance, you know, where I have said oftentimes when it comes to talking about Haitians, banking fees, banking, and Port Authority. Boy, plenty means for no rational, reasonable discussion. It's a highly emotive one. Highly emotive. And I would say that amongst all of them, the illegal Haitian immigration problem is perhaps the most emotive. It invokes serious emotions. And it doesn't matter if you are educated or not so educated. It doesn't matter if you are sometimes old or not so old or young or not so young. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor or a politician or a president of a company. It just can be a very difficult conversation because many people just have a straight line view of the situation. That's the only one they're sticking with. I know the debate that Mr. Mitchell is talking about regarding the Caribbean single market and economy. I remember that debate very well. I remember he and I had words with each other because of it. Because while I'm not against a single market and economy, per se. There are, I'm mindful that there are elements of a single market and economy like free movement of labor, which needed to be thought through to make the point that the free trade area of the Americas, which at the time was also a discussion point, and the World Trade Organization, which was also a discussion point, were not the kinds of trade arrangements that included free movement of labor. In fact, a single market in the economy, in theory, is the most aggressive form of trade arrangements you could have, and it intertwines economies in ways that really make them more look like a federation than anything else, like an association. And so I remember that debate clearly, and he said he had to shut down the debate because there was no getting rational discussions on it. Well, I entered a debate on the World Trade Organization and participated in that debate for almost 20 years. And, you know, it got heated at times, emotional at times. Mr. Minister's language in terms of people wanting to cause mayhem in the country, like, I mean, when the World Trade Organization was being discussed, people got heated. But I never felt any mayhem to be created by it. You know, I thought that if you stuck in the conversation and you continue to press the enlightened argument that you thought you had, that even your most adamant opposers didn't concede, but, you know, might temp down some of their rhetoric. You know, I was in that World Trade Organization debate, accused of this and called these names and that names, etc. I mean, it was tough. But this is not unlike many of the debates. Look at what happened to us during the referendum on gender equality. Remember that? Yeah, y'all remember that? BBC privatization debate. Remember that? How about the gambling referendum? I ain't saying it ain't coming to no mayhem over no debate. We can get our word out and we can cuss some people in the process. I don't think we come into mayhem quite yet. And so I didn't think reading or listening to what Dr. Minister. I can't judge a man's motive in terms of saying he was trying to stoke this or stoke that and the next thing, but the politicians do. On both sides of the political divide, do they not try to play into the sentiments of the Bayman public? You would almost be a malpracticing politician if you did not regard the sentiments of Bahamians and sought to identify with those sentiments to advance your own and your collective's political cause. That's just part and parcel of the process. Now, you don't do reckless things and you don't say reckless things and so forth, and I did not regard Dr. Minister's words as reckless at all. In fact, I thought it was a good opportunity for the government to put a counter narrative about what in fact was to be involved if the Royal Bahamas Defense Force was to go to Haiti. Because presumably we would send them to Haiti in the public interest. Now, the public might not agree with you, but I could make an argument for why it might be in our interest to do so. All right? Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabar Golang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today. God spares life. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a fantastic evening. I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever.